Penguin Random House Audio presents Kitchens of the Great Midwest by J. Ryan Stradel. Read for you by Amy Ryan and Michael Stuhlbarg. Lutefisk. Lars Torvald loved two women. That was it, he thought in passing, while he sat on the cold concrete steps of his apartment building. Perhaps he would have loved more than two, but it just didn't seem like things were going to work out like that. That morning, while defying a doctor's orders by pureeing a braised pork shoulder, he'd stared out his kitchen window at the snow on the roof of the Happy Chef restaurant across the highway and sung a love song to one of those two girls, his baby daughter, while she slept on the living room floor. He was singing a Beatles song, replacing the name of the girl in the old tune with the name of the girl in the room. He hadn't told a woman, "I love you," until he was 28. He didn't lose his virginity until he was 28 either. At least he'd had his first kiss when he was 21, even if that woman quit returning his calls less than a week later. Lars blamed his sorry luck with women on his lack of teenage romance. And he blamed his lack of teenage romance on the fact that he was the worst-smelling kid in his grade every year. He stunk like the floor of a fish market each Christmas, starting at age 12. And even when he didn't smell terrible, the other kids acted like he did because that's what kids do. Fish Boy, they called him, year-round. And it was all the fault of an old Swedish woman named Dorothy Seaborg. On a December afternoon in 1971, Dorothy Seaborg of Duluth, Minnesota, fell on the ice and broke her hip while walking to her mailbox, disrupting the supply line of lutefisk for the Sunday Advent dinners at St. Olaf's Lutheran Church. Lars's father, Gustav Torvald, of Duluth's Gustav & Sons Bakery, and one of the most conspicuous Norwegians between Cloquet and Two Harbors, promised everyone at St. Olaf's Fellowship Hall that there would be no break in lutefisk continuity. His family would step in and carry on the brutal Scandinavian tradition for the benefit of the entire Twin Ports region. Never mind that neither Gustav, his wife Aline, nor his children had ever even seen a live whitefish before, much less caught one, pounded it, dried it, soaked it in lye, re-soaked it in cold water, or done the careful cooking required to make something that, when perfectly prepared, looked like jellied smog and smelled like boiled aquarium water. Since everyone in the house was equally unqualified for the job, the work fell to Lars, age 12, and his younger brother Jarl, age 10, sparing the youngest sibling, 9-year-old Sigmund, but only because he actually liked the stuff. "If Lars and Jarl don't like it," Gustav told Aline, "I can count on them not to eat any. It'll eliminate loss and breakage." Gustav was satisfied with this reasoning, and while Aline still thought it was a mean thing to do to their young sons, she said nothing. Theirs was a mixed-race marriage between a Norwegian and a Dane, and thus all things culturally important to one but not the other were given a free pass and critiqued only in unmixed company. Yearly intimate contact with their cultural heritage failed to evolve the Torvald boys' sensibilities. Jarl, who still ate his own snot, much preferred the taste of boogers to lutefisk, given that the consistency and color were the same. Lars, meanwhile, was stumped by the old Scandinavian women who walked up to him in church and said, "Any young man who makes lutefisk like you do is going to be quite popular with the ladies." In Lars's experience, lutefisk skills usually inspired revulsion, or at best, indifference among prospective dates. Even the girls who claimed they liked lutefisk didn't want to smell it when they weren't eating it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?